Steiner Haros from things that I forgot to mention in the previous shiurim, or forgot to mention because I didn't know them yet. We mentioned before machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban about ptur onsin when it comes to chovel. And we were clarifying what the Rambam's position would be in this to be miyashev vishi to the Rambam. So it turns out that the Rambam's position in this is actually very unclear. Just to remind you what we saw, there are three shittos in Rishonim on this question. According to Tosfos, only an ones ke'en avedas chayev, but an ones ke'en gneva would be potter, even from chovel ba'adam, even though we're marba shogi ke'ones, amazing, ones karatzo, v'chulay. Tosfos Beinu Peretz, by the way, on Chavzah and Rav, has a similar shita with a minor twist. He says, you're chayev, even ba'ones ke'en gneva. The Ramban, as we saw, says your chayvim phone is gamor. So what the Rambam shita is unclear. Won't get into it so much. If you look at the Rambam in Chovel Mazik Perk Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, it sounds like you're going to be potter even for an ones gamor, like the Ramban. And the Magid Mishnah in Halacha Yud Beis makes that diuk, and he makes the diuk again from Halacha Tezayin, in the Magid Mishnah Halacha Tezayin. But if you look at Perk Vav Halacha Aleph, the Magid Mishnah was medayik from the Rambam that he holds that there's a you're chayev even on this gamor. So does the Rambam hold like Tosfos? Does he hold like the Ramban? It seems to be a steer in the Magid Mishnah, and you get mixed impressions from the Rambam. So we won't go into the details now, but go back into that discussion, and we'll have to return to that question. The second Hosafa from yesterday, which I neglected to mention, was we were clarifying about Shitas Rambam. We know that the Rambam mentions that we paskin that Yesh Umdina ben Ezekin, but we noted that he only mentions it in Hochos Chovel Mazik, so we wondered would he apply it in other areas of Dine Nezikin. On the one hand, he only paskins it here, but on the other hand, certainly the simple Dine Nezikin it would apply in all cases. There's further evidence, as the Or Sameach notes, from the Rambam that he limits it to Chovel, because the Rambam in Hilchos Nizke Mamon, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud, says that if a hole is 10 tefachim deep, then and the shore dies, you're chayev, and otherwise you're potter, but you're chayev for a mamonas under all circumstances. It doesn't matter how deep the pit is. That's what the Rambam seems to say. Now, the Rama on our subject, according to Shiutim Mukubat, says, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, that we need Umdina ben Ezekin, so it's not true. In other words, the Gemara says, how deep will the hole need to be chayev for an Ezekin? So it depends. Sometimes 9 fachim, sometimes 8 fachim, whatever it is. But you wouldn't just say, oh, no matter what, you're chayev. The Rambam seems to say, no matter what, you're chayev. So that would be further evidence that he limits it to chovel. Now, Yoni really didn't like that shot, but that's further evidence within the sheet of the Rambam that this is true. Is it a diuk shein alav tshuva? No, you could say it's saying, as appropriate. He already said in El Chovel Mazik that a nezikin means umdina. So whatever it is. It means if it's ra'oi, you could be chayiv up to a kosher. You could be chayiv even for one tefach, because sometimes one tefach would be rai lahazik. But probably there are some else things that the simple meaning of the Rambam is that you're chayiv no matter what, in which case you're forced to limit umdina to chovel. So you have to deal with it as, then you have to deal with the issues that we dealt with yesterday. Hosafa number 3 from yesterday. So if you remember, we clared about the question of why you are a potter for Mevaisho B'dvarim or Rakak B'Begada for the like. So we saw that the Rosh said that's because of the Xeris HaKasav, the Chzika B'Mevushav, that only if there's Boshas Gufo, otherwise no. In other words, it's not that you've embarrassed him any less, but the Torah says you only have to pay when it's dumya tu v'chzika b'mevushav, where there is a physical altercation of some sort. And okay, even rakakbo, but that's because it's rakak gufo, not v'gadav. Now, we noted over there yesterday that the Meiri disagrees. The Meiri says the reason why you're potter is because ein kan boshes, right? And the reason why you're potter from boshes bedvarim is because there's no boshes. Again, l'chora, what that means is does not mean that Yehud Vaish Nafshei, but the point is, there's no, the reason fundamentally is we assume, we say, you didn't cause the other guy boshes, right? So the Meiri is also Lishitaso in the Mishnah. If you go back to the Mishnah, the Meiri Tzadi Medal of Divmasko Amar Meiri, he says that, explicitly says that there's some people, right, on Taka Vazno, who say it's Dafka. The Mishnah says Dafka if what? If Achso. Right? In other words, assuming for the moment that you read that, it means trumpeting into his ears. Not your type of trumpeting. So then, that's like a big praise if somebody, if you trumpeted in my ears. But anyway, so we said that, you know, maybe you would argue that if you hold that, if it's if you're going to read it like that, second pshat Rashi, that it means that trumpeting into his ears, takavazno, so then stafka if achso, right, like the Gemara says. So the Meiri writes, there are some people that explain that way, but I think it's totally wrong. You're chayv even shelo achso. Why? Tashlume boshes, you're chayv af below negia. Oh. So then you have to ask, well, if tashlume boshes, you're chayv without negia, so why are you chayv if rakak bo? Or let's say, why you putter if rakak bivagadav, or why you putter if biyashavidvarim? So the answer is, like you said, because you are mevayishav, right? And agav, lefizeh, it's nicha, why spitting is chayv. In other words, otherwise you're going to have to say, why is spitting... If you learn like the Rush, you have to say, spitting on a mischayv because it's like Yiri delay, or something like that, right? But if you learn like the Meiri, it's very glut. In other words, there's no din by... You don't need Negiah Begufo for a Biyasho. Varaya, if you spit on a guy, you're chayv. Clearly, there's no Negiah Begufo. So then... What's the pshat for name calling? Because, like he says, in kanboshes.
I mean, is that any different than like throwing a rock at someone?
It's throwing a rock?
Yeah. Meaning, if you
that's what the Meiri is going to say.
No, but meaning
not the Meiri. That's what the Rush is going to have to say. And then you have to be mechalek between bow and begadav, which is, as we talked about, it's not such a pashal chiluk, right? Assuming, especially if we assume that your pater, if he's put on the guy's clothing while he's wearing them.
But I'm saying, like, meaning, if you throw a rock at a person, and like...
If I throw a rock at his face, I'm chayv, and if I throw a rock at his shirt, I'm chayv.
Right.
Right? So, again, I'm not saying that you can't make the chiluk, but, you know, if you're going to go like that other pshat in the Meiri, that you're only potter if you throw spit at his clothing when he's not wearing it, fine, then I understand. Right? And the reason why the Meiri didn't like that is because Meiri anyway doesn't hold this whole chiluk between gufo and begadav. But if you're going to say like the Rush, and you're going to learn like the pshat that you... are potter only if you spit on his clothing when you're not wearing, then it makes sense. But if you're going to learn like the Rush and say you're still potter when you spit on the clothing even when he's wearing it, so that, I'm not saying that's wrong, I'm just saying it's a difficult chiluk to make.
Oh, meaning, I thought we were saying Giri delay was a severe assumption.
No, that applying Giri to here and then saying but you're potter on his clothing isn't so pashat.
I mean, but that doesn't really have anything to do with Giri. Meaning, Giri in and of itself doesn't appear to be a problem. It's really just the chiluk of...
That's the chiluk. I'm saying, so what I'm saying is you have a difficulty, mm-hmm. right? Why is it you spit on his face, chayv. Spit on his shirt, potter. So how do you deal with that solution, that problem? There's a couple of options. If you learn, like, it's talking about the shirt when he's not wearing it, and you learn, like, the Rush... that you need v'chsek b'mevushav, so then it's understood. If you learn like the Meiri, it's also understood, right? The difference is he embarrassed or not, or something like that. You can say that doesn't make sense, but assuming If it's true, then the chiluk is obvious. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other chiluk is a harder chiluk to make, and that's what the Meiri saying says. I'm avoiding that problem. Okay. There was a third Hosefer from yesterday. That was three?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So then we're done Hosefer from yesterday. So let's talk about one last thing before we go on to Gemara. So the Rambam writes that, read the Gemara. Hakol fi chvodo. Ibailo. Ibailo. Tanakama kula kamar, aluchomer kamar. Lukula kamar. In other words, 400 zuz is for Ashirin, but Anim don't get that much. He gets 10,000. So the Tanakama said that you get 400 unless you're poor, in which case you get less. Now, a couple of interesting haaretz on that point. We've already sort of mentioned them, so we'll just note them again here. Ben Makomo. Number one is that the Gemara in the Mishnah sort of discusses ani versus ashir. The Rambam changes that, presumably because it's not really dependent on wealth per se. It might be true that wealthy people are more machmed about their own dignity, and poor people are less machmed. But fundamentally, it's not telling Ani or Ashir, and that's the Rambam writes. Badim shemivuzev eino machmed b'chol elu hadvarim. If you're mivuzev and you're not machmed, so then it's not the numbers that are mentioned in the Mishnah, let's say 400 zuz, but rather what? Lefi ma shera'ui lo ukemo shira dayanim shura'ui lito. Yeah.
Isn't the Rambam getting from the Hemshech of the Mishnah? Because the case where the woman uncovers her own hair, something about being poor or rich.
Good. Yeah.
You know, the Rashi seems to say, the Rashi on the Aleph seems to say that she was poor in the Mishnah.
She was likely poor. Who's going to
does it matter in that
be mevazeh themselves to save like a couple of drops of oil if if you don't need to?
But if a wealthy person happened to do that also, they didn't care. Yeah. The same rule would apply.
Presumably. Okay. I don't think the Rambam is so much of a chiddush.
Right.
I'm just
noting that
the Rambam is making this hara, and it makes sense. I think, as far as I know, everybody would agree to it. Now, what is a very big chiddush in the Rambam is like this. The Rambam seems to say that you're chayev to pay, though not the full amounts listed in the Mishnah, even though you're not makbid at all. The Rosh of Rambam was adam shemivuzev eino makbid b'chol elu advarim, which is a tremendous chiddush. But you're not makbid, you don't care. Still, you're chayev. Now, why would that be? Maybe it's because of what we saw earlier in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds boshes as an onesh, and he's royal onesh. In other words, even if I'm a vayisher, I disgrace someone who is not makbid on his own disgrace. I've still done a horrible thing, and royal on nisho. And then the Rambam says, "How much do you get?" However, if you look at the Marshal in Bava Kama over here, he says that the Rambam's lav dafka. Means he doesn't mind that much. The oso like in the case of the Mishnah, he would do it to himself. In other words, the Rambam, there's two, you know, two things. Number one is it doesn't make sense to say that if he's not makbid at all, that he should get paid, because he's seeing this more as tashlumin. And number two is, you know, what in the world is kafima shiro so hadayam shiro l'itol if he doesn't care about it, right? If he's not makbid. In other words, what exactly are the Dianim looking to assess? So the Rasha says, we're looking to assess how much he was harmed or how much he would be willing to pay. In other words, the Marshal, even though the Rambam says these are knasos, we'll go back to that in a moment, the Marshal sort of returns this still to the normal Parsha, and kefi mash, kefi hamevayish v'mizbayish, and the payment here, so it's not 400, but it's still, you know, it has to be somewhat commensurate to the harm caused. So for an Adam Mechubad, 400, let's say, is commensurate. For Adam Mevuzeh, 400 isn't commensurate. So what is commensurate? Kefi mashir odayanim, meaning, say, how much, you know, the guy would be willing to take for this, or willing to pay to avoid this, not to avoid this, or whatever it is. So, you know, what is it? It's 10, it's 15, it's 20. So that's certainly a very understandable reading of the Rambam, though I don't think, you know, I guess the more meduyik reading of the Rambam is not that way. As the Marshal acknowledges, he just doesn't think it makes sense. Now, this question might go back to the two deos on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, Tibur Maschil, Tosas Yom Maschil Da'asa. Right, if you just take a look back up there, to remind ourselves, Da'asa Zeka, this is the case where the wind came and undressed him partially, and the other guy undressed him more. So, Aval Imhu Atmo Dalinhu, let's say he started undressing himself. Uvachavero Vidalinhu Tfe Potter Kevan Shezeino Makbid. So, the first answer of Tosfos, we would say, is like the Marshal's reading, which is that if you undress somebody who's not makbid about being undressed, you're potter. Oh, shema orcha de milsa nakat de asa zeka. No, it's not mochrach, but the pashtos in this second answer of Tosfos is that no, orcha de milsa, meaning to say, even though this is a guy who started undressing himself, and even though this is a guy who doesn't care less about his own kavod and his own being dressed, still, if you undress him, you're chayv to pay. Now, so that would be like the simple reading of the Rambam. This might go back to also the question, just to jump ahead, but I think most everyone here has already seen the Mishnah and the Gemara, but it might go down to how you read the Gemara by Rabbi Akiva and why he was machayv her, right? So what did he say to her? Lomi by Boshes Adam Shail Vaishes Atmo. Av Ella Filu Chavaladin Adam Shail Chal Batmo, Achem Shechavlu Bo Chayavim. So, how do you read that? Right? You can read it in two ways. You could read it as, even though she's not Makpedes, still you have to pay her. Or you could read it as, no, of course she's Makpedes. She's willing to do it for a little bit of money, right? You know, to save the oil. And the chiddush is, you know, even though it's totally not commensurate, still you have to pay that amount, which will bring us back to the knas issue. In other words, Rabbi Akiva said, how much are you chayv to pay her in that case? Arba me'uzuz. So I'm assuming that the oil that she saved by, you know, collecting it in her snoot or whatever it was she did, was not worth 400 zuz, right? 400 zuz is a huge amount, presumably. And still, the point is, once you're makbid, you're chayev, and that's even though it's totally a very, very, you know, much, much more. So, unless you're going to say, that was because she was in the chatzer and, here this was Birshus HaRabim. But if that's true, then what kind of taina did this guy have anyway, right? Then, well, he didn't prove anything. Okay, just because I'm willing to wear shorts in my chatzar doesn't mean I'm going to wear shorts in Birshus HaRabim. So l'chayra must have been the Pesach of Chatzar to the Birshus HaRabim, and that's why the guy said he had a taina, and Rehiva said back, you don't have a taina. Now, but 1 second. So again, she is willing to uncover her hair for, you know, to save $3 worth of oil. So why in the world do you have to pay $10,000 at Baishas? So the answer is, if you assume it's a kanas, it's very meduyak, right? So, first of all, once you're going to say that, then it's very reasonable to say that you're going to be chayv even if she's not my pedis at all. But anyway, either way, you could read this gemara in two ways. You could read Rabbi Akiva's response to this guy as saying, I don't care that she's not Makpades, still, Adam is Rishai to invite themselves, but if you do it to them, you have to pay. Even though she's not Makpades, you have to pay. Or you could read it as, which I think is probably, you know, you could say is maybe even a simpler reading, and that would support the simple reading of the Rambam, the second day of Taisus on Pei Balan Beis, where you could read it as is telling her Vadis she's my Pedes a little bit, but not that much, right? It sort of gets to the point, what exactly was the guy trying to prove with this experiment, and then what was Rabbi Akiva saying back to her? Was the guy trying to prove that she doesn't care at all, and then Rabbi Akiva saying, oh no, she might still care a little bit, or no, the guy was trying to prove she doesn't, or Rabbi Akiva saying it doesn't matter that she doesn't care. We will pass him like the Rabbanon. That's
why,
true.
Why?
We're just trying to understand.
To be Akiva.
No, but the question is, what's going to be the din according to Rabbanon? In other words, is the pshat according to Rabbanon that Rabbi Akiva says you get 400 tzitz, right? Now, what's the pshat in the Rabbanon? So is the pshat in the Rabbanon that you get zero? Or is it pshat that you... let's assume she wasn't Makpedes al-Atzma, right? In other words, let's assume that's what the guy was trying to prove. She doesn't care. And Rabbi Akiva said back to her, I don't care that she doesn't care. You still have to pay. You're not allowed to do this, right? So now, if that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying back to her, so Rabbi Akiva is saying, I don't care that she doesn't care. You have to pay 400 zuz. And the Rabbanan are saying, no, you don't have to pay 400 zuz. You have to pay according to the Rambam, kfima shiroso adayanim. So that means that the Rambam's saying, okay, so Yiros HaDayanim is $10, whatever it is. But the point is, even though she doesn't care, or is the pshat that is Rabbi Akiva saying back, I don't care that she doesn't care 400 zuz worth, she does care a little bit, and because she cares a little bit, I'm going to make you pay 400 zuz. And then the Rabban would say, okay, you don't have to pay 400 zuz, you have to pay Kafi, how much she cares. And that's the way the Marshal is reading this Gemara and even the Rambam.
Wouldn't the Lashon of Lo Marta Klum be more Marshal like the Rambam?
I think so. But I don't. Lo Marta Klum means your time's not a good time.
But
you want to say that I shouldn't have to pay 400 zuz. But I agree. I think they're both very plausible readings. But yeah, I would tend to agree to that deal. One minor hara, Rashi might be a little bit lishitaso. Rashi in Sadi Aleph on the base says that that you're potter if you're not makbid, right? Elafilu achovo ba'atzmo chavala ma'amish de'en rishai b'zeba v'ikol ne'mar ho'ol mekulkol hu de'en makpid lo nechayvenu achrina ilavei afilu hachi chayavim. Right? So what's Rashi saying? Right? Sounds like you're not makpid. Now, that could be Rashi l'shitaso pevavim beis, you remember, if you learn at least like the Magen Mishnah learned, we gave other possibilities in Rashi, that an Adam that's holich b'shuk arun is not a barboshes at all. Okay, fine. One other, I guess, general point about this. So we mentioned before that that the Rambam calls this a kenas, right? That was in again Perek of Halacha Ches. If you look at the Ravid on our sugya, he writes, "Ani tama mehechan shiru elu hashiu." These numbers in the Mishnah, 100, 400. Where in the world did they come up with these numbers? It seems to me that the Ravid was assuming that these were not kenasos, right? Otherwise, it's not so such a startling thing. In other words, these numbers are commensurate to the damage or the bush experienced. So the Ravid says, "I don't understand this Mishnah, ani tama. You know, what kind of shiur are they? How do you come up with these numbers and the like?" Whereas, again, I think Rambam is trying to answer this when he says it's a kenas. They came up with these numbers because, you know, this is what they Chazal thought were appropriate for people that did a despicable act, doing something like, para rosh isha b'shuk, slapping in the face at Salam al-Kim. This is like a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. So in the Mela, they gave very high penalties. Whereas if you learn that this is not a kenas, so then you'll be very bewildered by these numbers in the Mishnah. Rashi, by the way, also on Chav Zainu base, writes, it's Minagadayanim, which sounds again to me like it's a Takana or it's a Kanas or the like. There is a bit of a machlokas between Rashi and Rambam in terms of the numbers, by the way. I think we mentioned this. But Rambam, as well as the Rif on Daf Chav Zainu base, assume that these numbers are kolo everything, whereas according to Rashi, these numbers are not kolo tzar, mipo, or sheves. Should that be relevant? It's just kolo boshes. We also saw Tosfos back on the Pevav Amud Aleph that he noted that in our Mishnah, when it comes up with these numbers, we're not mechalek if they're before people, if they're not in front of people. In other words, right? Obviously, a person will experience much more boshes if they're slapped in the face in public, you know, in front of 100 people, than if it's in front of one person. And yet the Mishnah is not machalik. So Tosfos says, you see here that sometimes we're not machalik because it's the difficulty of assessment. But again, Tosfos does not... So L'chora Tosfos is saying that there is some type of takana over here, right? In other words, otherwise we'd have to, if it was Mikra Adim, we would have to take that into account to the best of our ability. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's totally removed from the regular parsha of Nezek and is a full-fledged kenas. Okay, talked about that before. Let's go on to Gemara. Umay Sabach Shpar Rosh Isha. So, right, the story in the Mishnah went. He asked Rabbi Akiva for a little bit of time. Rabbi Akiva said, sure. So what's going on over there? Why in the world was he entitled to ask for time, and why did Rabbi Akiva say yes? So says the Gemara, "Mi avinan le avinan zman, Amar Rav Chanina, einos min zman l'chavamos." Do we give him zman? Doesn't Rav Chanina say we don't give zman? So what you see from the Gemara is that there seems to be, we're taking for granted that there is this concept of yavinan zman. It doesn't say for what. Just as there's a concept of Yavinan Zman, and the Gemara asks, whatever this concept of Yavinan Zman is, it doesn't apply to for Chavalos. And the Gemara answers, yeah. Kilo Yavinan Zman l'chavala d'chasrim emayna. Avala boshes d'lochasrim emayna Yavinan. That's only for boshes d'chasrim emayna, but not boshes d'lochasrim emayna. not chavat lochas menali poshes. Right? In other words, what our Gemara says, but does not leave us with much further information, is the following. That there's this chal of Yavinan Zman, and we apply Yavinan Zman for poshes, because lochas menali, and we don't apply Yavinan Zman for the request for time is not granted for, let's say, nezek, or other cases, Shav asked where it is, Chashrin and Mona, right? Adkan HaGemara. So, what is this Yavin and Zman? We still don't know, right? Does this mean time to bring a raya? That's actually the way I had read it originally, because I thought, why did the guy ask for Zman? It's pretty obvious. He wanted to do this little experiment. He was a sneaky guy, right? So he thought he was going to be able to win the case. Rabbi Kiva paskened against him. You're a Chai 400. He thought, I have this trick to prove that I'm innocent. I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay that much. So he asked for time, basically, to make a case. And Rabbi Kiva said, sure. And he gave him the time, and he did it. And then Rabbi Kiva said, sorry, it doesn't work. Right? So, that's the way I read it. But if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Yehonasan, which is quoted in the Shita, he said, no, this relates to, the time here is for actually a different reason. That might have been what the guy's intention was, we don't know, but that's not what Yavin HaZman is. Yavin HaZman is a extension to pay. And why would we give him an extension to pay? Says the Rabbeinu Yehonasan, Shalit Starch Limkor Karkaos of Bezol, meaning to say, this guy didn't have any money, but he had some property. So if we don't give me any time, what's going to happen is I'm going to have to sell, what do they call it? You have to sell really quickly and you can't get a good time, good amount?
Sure.
No, I don't remember. Anyway, you have to sell whatever.
Clearance?
No.
Liquidate?
Liquidate. None of you guys went to Sims. Adam, come on.
Short of stock.
Bar?
Anyway, so you have to sell quickly, right? When you have to sell quickly, you don't have time to wait for a good offer. You're going to not get, you're going to really lose out. Maybe your karka is really worth $300,000, but if you have to raise the money by tomorrow, you're only going to get $250,000. So we give him time. And the Magid Mishnah adds an additional reason for this. Magid Mishnah says, we'll get to it in Sochas Ava, that even without Zman, if we're talking about a case where the guy has nothing to pay but karka, so let's say we don't give him time, so Beis Din would be Yorlin Nechasev right away. So that doesn't go so quickly either, because the Gemara says that when Beis Din or Yorlin Nechasev to take your karka, you need Hachraza and you need Shuma. Beis Din also won't just sell it, you know, to the first buyer. There's a whole process to make sure that the guy isn't actually ripped off. So there's Achraza, there's Shuma. Now, if this is true, then it makes sense that we're only going to give an extension to a person that has no money and only karka. And that's in fact what the Rambam writes. We'll read it in a moment. That if the guy has metaltolin, for example, we won't give him time. We'll just say, certainly if you have cash, or if you have metaltolin, just pay the metaltolin, right? It's only in a case where you don't have, all you have is karka, so then there's two reasons why we will give him extra time. Number one, the Rabbeinu Yehonasan, Shalit Tarfa Limkor Karkos of Zoh. Number two, what the Magid Mishnah answers, which is that anyway, you're not going to save any time by immediately allowing the creditor to be Yoyle Nechasev. Yeah, you have a question? Okay. Now, what's very strange is, as I noted, that, you know, from our Gemara, like, it seems like there's this clearly understood principle of Yavinan Leizman, and, you know, our question is, when we apply it, and we conclude we apply it when there's no Chisaron Mamon, but we don't apply it when there is a Chisaron Mamon. As far as I know, there's no Gemara that actually explicitly says this principle, that, somebody that it owes money but doesn't have what to pay with, is given an extension. Now, it comes up, so in a sense this is really the locus classicus of this idea, but it might also emerge from a sugya in Bava Metzia. The Gemara over there, or the Mishnah over there, says that, let's say a person has a wall that's wobbly, and it might fall down into the Rosh Hashanah. So Beis Din tells him, you have a certain amount of time to fix your wall. And if you fix it within the wall, and it was Mazik, you're going to be Potter, and if you didn't fix it within that time, you'll be Chayav. So how much time? So the Gemara says, Nasan Ozman, Vakam Ozman, Beis Din. What is, quote, Zman Beis Din? Rav Yochanan, Shloshim Yom. Oh. So, L'chora, this sugya Bava Metzia really doesn't have anything to do with our sugya. This is a sugya of like how much time Beis Din gives you to fix your property that's likely to cause damage. But if you look at Tosfos over there, he writes Zman Beis Din Shloshim Yom, and Mikan Anu Lemedim Zman Beis Din L'Throa Chova U'Lekam Advarim Davi Shloshim Yom. Tosfos reads that when it says Zman Beis Din over here, we're not just talking about the case of time to fix your wall, but this is a general principle which includes Zman L'Throa. Right? That's Shloshim Yom. After all, our Gemara talks about Zman, doesn't say how much time. So how do you know how much time? What do you come up with? So that's the sugya in Bava Metzia. So if you sort of put these two dinim together, the din in Bava Metzia and din in Bava Kama, then you come up with this idea, which is that when it comes to all payments that have no chisaron mamon, so then you could ask for 30 days extra. And when it comes to chavalos that have chisaron mamon, then you have to pay immediately. Now, the problem, and that's in fact, as I mentioned before, the Rambam Paskins, the Rif Paskins. Now, there's an obvious problem with this, which is that Halvaus, would you call that Chisaron Mamon? I would call it Chisaron Mamon, right? I lent you money, that means I took money out of my pocket, so if you're not paying me money, you owe me, I would call that Chisaron Mamon. Yet, as I mentioned, the Rambam says that the halachas, this is Rambam Avalo Vechav Beis Aleph, the Rambam writes that Talvaz, you do get extra time. So the Ran, the Chidush Rambam, addresses this question. And he writes, he asks from our Gemara in HaChoyvel, and he says, that's the question, right? According to Gemara Bava Metzia, according to our Gemara Bava Kama, why do we give him time? For Halvaz, Chasri Mimona. And the Ran answers, Lav Koshir Hi, Dechov El Shani, Behezek Shani, So we don't just look at chasri memone alone. It means he, you know, I didn't ask you to punch me. So if you punched me, then we're not going to give you any extra time. And he even uses the lashon of we're going to consign the guy and not give him any time to any extensions. He's got to pay immediately due on delivery. But where the guy willingly lent you money, so it makes sense. You had a question?
When we say these 30 days, is that like a maximum they can give, a minimum they can give, or is that like
that's the maximum after it's due? Oh, we do that. Seder Gvias Chayv Kach Hu. Kshiyavu Amal Veshtaro Leveis Din Viskayim. Right? So I bring my shtar to Beis Din, we do Kim Shtaros. It says that you owe me $1,000 due today. So, Omim Lelo Veshalem. So Beis Din will say to you, no, okay. Ve'en Yod Mechas Tchila Adjit Ben. Ve'en, fine, that's a different issue. Amar Alo Ve'arein Meshalem. Kvol Yizman Kedei Sh'alva Me'acher Mashkin. O Emkor, the Avi Amos. Right? So you say, okay, I agree. I know I owe you the money. I owe you $1,000. Give me some time so I could raise the funds. How am I going to raise the funds? I'm going to borrow money. Or I'm going to be Mimashkein, something to get a loan, or whatever it is. So then, Kovin Lo Zman Shloshim Yom, we give you 30 days. Vein Mechayvin Osolite Mashko. We don't require him to give a Mashko. Shiluhayasham Metaltolin. If you had metaltolin, for which you could use as a mashkon, then miyada yibaisin govin la man. Now this is a time period before baisin is yored l'nechasecha, right? Start seizing your assets, namely your real assets, not your metaltal. But if you had money, if you had cash, certainly, or even if you had other types of metaltal, then you would. Now it happens to be that not everybody agrees to the Rambam on this matter. There are other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Hananel says that for halacha we don't give any time. In other words, once this man of payment comes, you pay immediately. Even levos mikarka, because you're chayev, right? And that's also within the Baal Iter. These are quoted by the Magid Mishnah on this halacha. And why? They learn like the simple reading of Argamara, right? Argamara says the only time you're going to get an extension is by boshes. Why? Lo chasrei, halvas chasrei, so you have to pay immediately. And then there's another, the opposite opinion. Rambam actually is the middle view. The other extreme, there are some opinions who hold, this is quoted by the Magid Mishnah as well, who say that even if you have metaltalin, we'll give you an extension of 30 days. That seems to be the Tosfos in Bava Metzia that we quoted before. Because Tosfos in Bava Metzia writes, Umikan anu lemeidin zman based in lefroa chalva ulekama dvarim to have a shloshe yom. Sounds like in Tosfos. Under all circumstances, we give you 30 days. Sounds like perhaps even if you have money. So basically we have three shitos in this matter, right? Do you get an extension to pay for a halva? Rabbeinu Hananel, no. Rambam, yes, if all you have is karka, no, if you have metaltalin. And then the third opinion may be Tosfos, even if you have metaltalin, you're granted an extension. Now, what's sort of interesting about all of this is that you could have, as we noted, explained our whole sugya totally differently, the way I had originally read it, which is that you're given, we're talking, our sugya is talking about what? An extension to bring a raya, right? When the guy asked Rabbi Akiva for time, he wasn't asking him for time to borrow money, he was asking for time to prove his point. Now, is there any basis for that opinion? Is there any basis for that reading? The answer might be yes. From a third sugya where this issue is possibly discussed, and that's in Mar Sanhedrin, Daf Amud Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol Zman Shemei V'Raya Soser Esadim. So as long as you have a raya, you can be Soser Esadim. Amar Lo, Kol Raya Sheish Lecha Vei, so the Dayan and the Mason might sometimes say, you know what, this guy is just stalling, right? I have another eye, huh? So Mason says, right, you have 30 days to bring all your values. Lots of social shimyom, so after 30 days it's too late, and I'm a Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, I'm passing like Rav Shmuel Eliyahu. No, my ass is Eshel, lots of social shimyom, lots of social shimyom, what if you find it afterwards? You still have a chance. So says Rashi in that Mishnah, Kol Zman Shemei V'Raya, Hava L'Veist and V'Lohaya Shtar Zchuso V'Yado, V'Yazm Veist and Chayev, U'ach Hazman Matza Shtar Zchuso V'Yado, Sosan Adin, Veist and Sosan as Tino Shepasko, U'mechayven Azer Shekinegdo. Now, you could have read our Gemara is talking about that, right? So why didn't the Rambam learn our Gemara that way? So it could be that's totally irrelevant to our case. In that case, you'd have to pay immediately. So it doesn't sound that way. But it could also be, because we pass on like the Rashbag, that you could always, there the question is undoing the din, as opposed to our case, that's talking about paying immediately. But one way or the other, if you look at the Ran in the Darim, on Daf Chazayin and Aleph, the Ran quotes that Sugyan Sanhedrin, and he understands that Sugyan Sanhedrin is exactly this point, time to bring riots, right? And the point is, but the way the Ran at the very least learns like Ran Sanhedrin is a person has the right to ask for a certain amount of time to bring rios, and until that time, he doesn't have to pay. What the Ran and what the Sugya and the Darim tells us is based in might be concerned that he's asking for time because he's going to flee. So, you know, we make him post bail in a certain sense, right? That's what the Sugya and Sanhedrin says. Ugava de atvis achvasa de beidina. The Amari lo asina tasin yomin levatlun hani zachvasi. So then the Gemara there talks about what happens if you're an ones and you don't come. Do you say batel zachvasa or do you say lo batel zachvasa? Ones rachvana patri. So what's going on over there? So the Ran says, what's going on? Hai gava bikish mebeistin she yitnu lo zman. Zman for what? To bring rios. Kiditnan v'sanhedrin shekol rios sheyesh lecha lahavi havei mikan v'ad shloshim yom. So then the pshat is, and the Mishnah and Sanhedrin says, okay, if you ask for time to bring raya, space, they might put a cap. They might say, okay, you have only 30 days to bring the raya, right? And then there's a shiloh, well, what happens if you bring after 30 days? That's the machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. And this sugya over here in Sanhedrin, in the Darim, is, well, what if based in goes ahead and says, okay, if you want extra time, you know, you should leave your shuyos, and then you say Avatals for Yosai, and then the time doesn't come. But anyhow, the point is that L'Chaira, if you learn like, let's say this Ran, if you learn like this Ran, so this is a different case. Now, the Ran doesn't tell us that that's the pshat in our Gemara when we talk about where we asked Rabbi Akiva, let me have time, and we gave him time of 30 days, but it's certainly reasonable, if you're going to learn like that, Ron, to assume that that's exactly what's going on in Argamar. What's going on in Argamar is not extra time to raise the capital to pay, but extra time to bring rios. So if that's true, so again, we have three places in Shas where potentially we have this halacha of an extension of time of 30 days. One, number one is the Sugya Bat Metzia to be removed the hezek. Number two is a additional time to find funds to pay, about which we saw, to raise capital, and about that we saw three different opinions in terms of what that would be with respect to halacha. And then number three, the Sugya and Sanhedrin potentially, and the Gemara and the Darim potentially, with respect to an extension of time to bring rios. Yeah, Eitan.
Couldn't you bring the opposite right from the Gemara and Sanhedrin? Unlike where the Magen Mishnah said, or Beinyan Arnas said, for some reason, for our person full of it, you need time to come up with money. In Sanhedrin, the whole Kiddush of Hasim Kiddush and Gilil, that there, you can always bring a riot.
Right, so we pass on like fresh bat. So all that might mean is that Beis Din has no right to permanently take away your ability to bring a raya.
So we should never push up the case to allow someone to come with a raya.
Oh, so that's exactly the question. So that's why I agree that the Sugya in Sanhedrin isn't mukhlach. It might be irrelevant to our discussion, right? But the way the Ran understands the Sugya in Sanhedrin, it is. The Sugya Sanhedrin is talking about this issue, but you're correct. Yes.
Irrelevant of which type of Yehavina Leizman we understand it as, it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with differentiating between Chasim Amon and Lo Chasim Amon.
Why?
Because you're always...
We're talking about which case? Time to pay?
If it's time to pay, so if you're going to say like Rabbi Yehoma's son, so that's always going to be an issue.
No, but the point is that you Chazal gave special leeway to a person to get a 30-day extension before based in his yard of the chasav, right? Mm-hmm. Why? So he doesn't have to do a midnight sale and potentially sell bazaar. Like, when did Chazal give him that special leeway? When lo chisro mamon? Chisro mamon. They didn't. Why? It makes a lot of sense. Because, listen, you know, if you take away my money, so, you know, pay me back the money you took from me immediately. No, I'm not going to give you extra time. They didn't take away my money. So then Basedin said, then the Chazal said, yeah, you could have a little extra time. I'm not, as it were, missing money until you pay. So therefore, you could have a little extra money to pay, a little extra time to pay, especially if you assume that, you know, you see it more as an onus.
And the same thing would be true if you assume that it's time to bring the guy up.
Yeah, for sure. In other words, if, you know, since we pass on like Rajbag, it might be that if you bring a raya later on, so you'll still be able to overturn the case, but it's only, the only time we'll say, okay, even though it seems to us, you know, based in said, you're chayev, right? Case closed. Guy said, wait, give me some time to find a raya to support myself. So Rabbi Kiva said, yeah, you have 30 days. When would based in do that? That's when Lo Chesra Mamon Basedin would say, pay immediately. Okay, if you hold like Rajbag and he comes up with a raya later, so good. So then at that point you'll overturn the din. But we're not going to give you an extension. There's another interesting ha'ara here with respect to the lashon of Lo Chesra Mamon, right? Because from the Gemara, it sort of sounds like Lo Chesra Mamon is only shayach for boshas, mashen kein shar dvar, which is shver for the Rambam, as we know the Rambam in Perkei Halacha Zayin writes that the only two things are considered Chesra Mamon are what? Sheves and Ripui, right? Now, if you look at the lashon of the Rambam over here, it's very interesting. He writes, this is a perek beis halacha chaf. Kshaposkin beis demal amazik, and mechayvin oso l'shalim, kovin mimenu akol miyad, ve'en kovin lozman klal, ve'en bevoshes belvad nischayet, kovin lozman l'shalim, sharei lo yichasrei mamam. So he uses the exact same lashon as he uses in perekhet. Right? Here he says, lo chasrei mamam. And in Parakei, he also uses the same lashon, right? This is Parakei Halach Zayin. V'lam Mishalim Adam Shloshim Farim Eila Al Pi Atzmo Sheves VeHaripoy Mamonu Beino Kenas Sheim Lo Yitein Lo Harei Chasro Mamon. But I don't think it's a stira. Why? There it actually is a different lashon. There is, in the case of Ripoy, the pshat is in lo yitein lo harei chasro mamon, right? That's only true for ripoy and sheves. Why? Because if I don't give you the ripoy, what's going to happen? You're going to pay the money out of pocket. Not true for nezek, because for nezek, what's the din? If I don't give you, are you going to lose any money out of pocket? No, you weren't omeid l'malcher. So in that case, it's considered lo chesra mamon. It's considered kenas, not mamon. Right? So the only things that are considered mamon, not kenas, are things that if the mazik doesn't pay the nizak will lose out of pocket. Either ripoy, because it's the actual medical cost, he's going to have to pay the doctor, or even sheves, because he's omeid to work, and by not working, that's considered chesra mamon. Mashen ke nezek, and tsar, and boshas, none of them are chasro mamon, because you're not omeid to sell yourself as an aved, you're not omeid to sell yourself for pain, and you're not omeid to sell yourself for boshas. But it doesn't mean that there's no chisar mamon. Avada, there's chisar mamon by nezek. It's just that the payment is not keneged that chisar mamon. Why? Exactly because we said, I'm not omeid to sell myself as as an Eved, or a Tsar, or the like. So there is Chisaron Mama. The payment isn't, let's say it a little differently. Our Gemara says the only one that's now Chisaron Mama is Boshes, because all the other ones, it's Shayach to monetize them. I'm sorry?
Tsar?
Yeah.
How? Is it,
what?
Is it
how much money you would be willing to pay? Oh, so now. So let's try to figure this out. So one possibility, right? So let's ask the kasha from Tsar, right? So this gets back to the very interesting question that we had in terms of how do you mishalim boshes, right? Remember, we talked about this within Shitas Rambam. The Rambam tells you how you figure out the actual payment of Nezer. How do you do it? You monetize it by selling him on this, you're putting, you know, figuring out his value on the slave market. Good. And the Rambam told us exactly how you monetize Tsar. How do you do that? By figuring out how much money you would pay not to have this Tsar, right? Did the Rambam tell you how to monetize Boshes? Not at all. Right? And in fact, the Rambam might have just said, Kol lefi rozein ad dayanim. So one way to understand this, to be miyashik this for the Rambam, is that basically this is, the Rambam holds that even though Tsar and Nezek are not compensation, but at least they're monetized. Masha'en Kain, Boshes isn't even monetized. It's Kefi Shehiru Oso Adayanim. Now it's true, HaKol Lefi HaMevayish VaMizvayish, but it's not even monetized. And that could be exactly what the chisara, what the chiddush, which is a tremendous chiddush, of the Gemara is over here. Now, if you look at the Lashon, so again, just to say, so if you didn't want to say this more radical shot, and you wanted to say no, that for Boshes also, you know, maybe first of all, if you learn like the Marshal anyway, what I'm saying is wrong, even in Boshes. But even if you don't learn like the Marshal, maybe the Rambam only said that for Boshes that are these knassos, but for regular Boshes, we are monetizing Boshes, right? So then how are you going to be miyashiv the Rambam? So you could say a little bit less mechudash, which is to say that even though we do monetize Boshes, it's still not in the Boshes that you're not mechaser mamon in the sense that people taka take money, you know, for to sell themselves a madin. They take money even for tsar, right? Now people don't usually take money for tsar in the sense that, okay, you know, for $50 I'll let you whip me. But people take money for tsar all the time in the sense that you know, many jobs have a lot of tsar involved, right? And basically, you're being paid for your tsar. Whereas Boshes, generally speaking, people don't do that. Now, you might, maybe a clown does that. But even clowns, you know, they're wearing paints, and nobody knows they are. So maybe that's the shot. Now, just one last point. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes a very interesting on this from Rabbeinu Yehonasan. Avaboshes lochasim runa, yehavina and leizman, kadesh leitzdach limkor karkosef, this is what we said before, right? Vitzarch iyun, amai lo amar ki hai lishna, animili linin arbedvarim, dechasrei mimona, avaboshes lochasim runa yehavina. Mamish, lo yavinan. Ella hecha delaka ella boshes levada. V'hainu de'amar stama enos zman l'chavalos v'lo kamaflid v'lo midi bein boshes l'arbedvar. Now, that is very meduyak in the Rambam as well. Why? What was the lesson of the Rambam again? The lesson of the Rambam was shekpoz beis adin amazik v'chayim no sol v'shalim v'chayim menu akol miyad v'en kol v'lo zman klal v'en v'boshes bilvad nischayim. If it's only boshes, right, which is very fascinating. In other words, the Rambam doesn't say that if you're chayav in, if I'm chayav chamisha dvarim, you have to pay everything immediately. We don't say you have 30 days to pay the boshes, and all the other four things you have to pay immediately. It's only if you're chayav only in boshes. And again, that diuk is made by Rami Honison. It's also made in the Shita Mechubat says by the Ram Misarkusta. But the Miri disagrees. He says, no, since Boshes is not compensation for Fisaron Mamo, knows the most man. Oh. Right? I'll just read it in the Miri. He says, Aho of the Linian Tashlumin shall Boshes lochisro Mamo. Vehu shenamar b'mishnamar lo tem li zman v'nasam lo. V'doli mechabrim, in the Rambam, b'shnu b'zlo nischayef ala boshes bilvad. So what's the pshat in the Meiri? Right? So it could be that, like this. The pshat in the Rambam is if it's a matziv when there's chisaron mamon in this whole case, then you have to pay something. You have to pay everything immediately, right? If there's, it's not a matziv of chisaron mamon, then you have time. You are given an extension. Masha'inkin, the Meiri, says, no. Whatever is chisaron mamon, pay immediately. Whatever isn't chisaron mamon, you don't pay immediately. So therefore, that's because the Meiri may be learned that all four out of five are all chisaron mamon, not like the Rambam that learns only two out of the five are chisaron mamon. Four out of the five are chisaron mamon. Only boshes is a chisaron mamon. Four out of five are basically compensation for the loss. So therefore, when it comes to Gemara saying like this, when it comes to compensation for the loss, pay that compensation immediately. When it comes to non-compensation payment, or none, then you're given an extension. The Rambam couldn't hold that, because the Rambam thinks even Nezek isn't compensation for loss. Even Tsar isn't compensation for loss. So how's the Rambam going to read it? The Rambam's going to say a little differently. The Rambam's going to say, if this is a matzav where there's a loss, so then you're not given an extension. If this is a matzav where there's no loss, so then you're given an extension. Yes?
So if you go to Ches from Mamon, where we're trying to learn now to enter the Rambam, it's simply stira.
We said
so,
three pshatim in the Rambam.
Look, it's the first one, the monetizing. So, let's say there's only Nezek or only Tsar. So why does the chesed between Ches from Mamon or not, like you only asked before, if the guy actually lost money or compensating, I get why you wouldn't extend
the pshat is like this. Avada Nezek is, in a sense, Chesar and Mamon. Like, you know, you had a hand, and now you don't. The payment of Nezek is not payment for that chisaron mamon, because you're not only limacher ke'evet. And therefore, the gedder of that payment is what? Onasher kenas. We're not saying that losing a hand isn't chisaron mamon. But it is. It's just that the pshat is that the payment for Nezek isn't a payment. In other words, we can't, when a person loses their hand and we monetize that as $38,000, it's not the pshat that the guy lost $38,000 because he wasn't omen limacher ke'eved. We can't even, you know, put any number on it, but it's chasrei mamon.
The damage has from the payment.
Right. Exactly. The payment is kulo kenas. Mashem came boshes.
What about seven?
Even that. So that's what I'm saying, the fact that it's monetized.
But then you're back to square one.
No. So that either you're going to say the first more radical shot, which is that that Tsar is monetized and Boshes is not. The money that the Dayan and Boshes is pure Knas. Tsar is monetized Knas, if you wish. Right?
And
Boshes is just a pure Onesh. We don't even try to monetize it. That's the most radical shot. That makes everything the most Meduyuk, right?
And
the second pshat is a little less Meduyuk, right? And the third pshat, in a sense, is the least Meduyuk.
Okay. And I don't really understand how that fits with the lashon of Chasri Mamon. Like, monetization doesn't really have anything to do with Chasri Mamon.
I don't know. When we monetize something, so we're imagining it's a Chasri Mamon, right? Chasri Mamon does not mean money out of pocket, clearly, because Tsar is no money out of pocket, right? So now, so what does Chasri Mamona mean for the Rambam, right? Let's just pasur tight. So Chasri Mamona means that the fact, let's go to the first part, the fact that Beis Din monetizes this payment indicates that, you know, we see it as though Chasri Mamona. That's part of what monetizing does. When we monetize it, we're saying, you know, I caused you $3,000 of damage because you would have paid $3,000 to avoid this damage, or you would have accepted $3,000 not to get this tsar, or whatever it is. Yes?
In terms of being the Asher tsar, I think we saw it was Smile pointed out that in reading Gemara that the only reason it says Boshes is because it's the case of our Mishnah, but the really the term to focus on is the low class ring on.
So the whole thing is Labdaka, but so that's against the Rambam.
You include. Sorry, and he says that the reason the posting said Boshes was just to be told is the lesson of the
Aha! Very, very difficult,
yeah.
I would think. Right? Let's look at the Rambam's lesson again. So posting the basic Mazim Chayim and Rashad Shalom Gavin Mamanu, I call me Yad Vangel Zman. I'm the Boshes Bilvad! Mishayev Koivin
Mazim. Is the Bilvad coming?
Even if you say Bilvad is only, but still, you right. know, you'd expect the Rambam to say that. That's a, listen. That would answer up all the kashas. But it's difficult. And Lasha, you know, say that in the Rambam. You say something? Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how the machlokas between the way the Meiri and, I guess, everyone else reads the Gemara has to do with...
It doesn't have to. It might have to. One way to possibly understand why you wouldn't say like the Meiri. Right? The Meiri makes a lot of sense, right? In other words, you know, I would have read the Gemara for sure like the Meiri. The point is that when you're Chasri Mamona, you should be demanded to pay immediately, and if not, not. Why would we look at the case as a whole, right? So what I was saying is that if you learn like the Rambam, it makes a lot of sense not to say like the Meiri. Because the pshat would be like this. If this is a matziv of Chasri Mamona, we're not given an extension. Whereas if you look at each, if you just looked at it the way the Meiri looked at it, so we wouldn't just isolate Boshes, maybe we would isolate Tsar and Nezek as well. Because those aren't considered, those are Knossos, not Chasim, not like this is in Parakai.
Like, I'm not following, like, why? Market the Islay, whatever makes Boshes different, why would that determine whether or not...
The answer is a little different. The pshat is like this. If you were looking at it like the Meiri, purely, and we were isolating each payment, so it's very, again, this is the third pshat, doesn't make sense to isolate just Boshes. Right? But Boshes is, if you were to look at a continuum, the furthest from real Chasri Mamona, right? So therefore, if it's in a case where there's only Boshes, so then we'll give you an extension. But if you were going to start dividing it up, like the Meiri, then you wouldn't necessarily draw the line at Boshes. Maybe. Maybe. In other words, that's... It's havadul olosif, if you will. You know, from the Rambam's perspective, this is bad enough. Okay. Fine. Just a couple more minutes left. So, let's at least... Rabbi Digmara. Shamar medes al pesach tzeir v'atani yamar lo Rabbi Akiva tzalat mayim adirim. Adam Lasmo. What are you talking about? The Mishnah said, "Ain Adam Rishai l'chav Lasmo." This Brisa says, "Adam Rishai l'chav Lasmo." Which one is it? Amar Rava. Lo kasha kan b'chava Allah kan b'boshes. You're not allowed to be chovid yourself. You're allowed to be invaish yourself. V'amas these invaishes who v'ktani chov Lasmo after Rishai Rishai. No, Hachi Kamer Lai. Well, we buy Boshes Adam Rishai Levaishes Atzma. Then you'd have to pay. Ela Filu Chavala. Dein Adam Rishai Lechava Atzma Acherem Shechav Lubo Chayavim. And then we go into all discussion as to whether or not you're allowed to be Mechabel Atzma. I'd like to, though, stop for a moment and talk about the seeming conclusion of this Gemara that Adam is Rishai Levaish Atzma. Even though you're not allowed to be chovid atzmo. Now, to be honest, it might not be the Gemara conclusion. If you learn like Tosus, and this we'll talk about tomorrow, in the end of the day, fia maskana, there is no distinction. So, this discussion is true either according to Havin Gemara, or we'll see that there are many Rishonim who learn that even the maskana is a Gemara, this distinction still stands. So, so either as a Havamina or even as a maskana, the question I want to discuss for just 1 minute is this question of are you allowed to embarrass yourself? So there's a piece that Tyler showed me from Nefesh HaRav, story that we all know, the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, that he was on the train and somebody said something about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said, "Well, he's not such a big tzaddik." And then you know, the guy, whatever happened, happened. And the Chafetz Chaim said, "Oh, I see from here that you're not allowed to say lashon hara about yourself." So anyway, apparently when somebody told that story to the Rav, he said, "Oh, it's pashut. You're not bailam on your own reputation." And so let's talk about that, right? Seemingly, maybe it's against this Gemara. Okay, according to Tosfos, it might not be against the Maskana, but pashut pshat is against the Gemara. So I think there's a couple of points to keep in mind. It's pashut. The Chafetz Chaim understood. He didn't need this story on the train to teach him that you're not allowed to make yourself a Rasha b'ene abriyos, right? That's a Mishnah based off the Pasuk for Yisim Nikiyim. In that sense, you're not bailing on your own reputation. We know that what we call Maris Ayin really includes two components. One component is that you can't do things that look like they're Aser if that's going to cause people to err and actually violate the Halacha. And the second one is the idea of Chashad, which is even if nobody's going to violate the halacha, right? People see me doing activity A, and nobody's actually going to derive that activity A is mutter, what they think I'm doing. Still, it's awesome. But he's in a kiyum. Well, parshas shavu almost. So, meinei Hashem Yisrael, so you have to do that. So what's the pshat then, right? How could you say Adam is Rishai Levi Shazaz? The answer is no. That avada you're not allowed to make yourself a rasha b'inyan. That's the pasuk of the Nikiyim. But there's no formal chiyuv to be a mechubadika mensch. At the same time, perhaps, you certainly should be a mechubadika mensch. Again, sometimes it might be us, or sometimes if you're not a mechubadika person, it'll be a chil Hashem, right? Because people will say, look at B'nai Torah and look how they dress and look how they whatever. But when there's no Zaitika in you, right, there's not going to be a Chil Hashem. So it might still be that that's a proper thing, but there's no formal Isser. And that's what our Sugya is talking about. Meaning to say, if I take off somebody else's shirt in the shuk, I'm going to have to pay the money. Even though there's no formal isser for me to take off my own shirt in the shuk. At the same time, I think it's pashut that a person should be mechobedik a person. L'mashal, the Rambam writes in Hochos Deos, there it's Perkei, it's talking about the drachim of a chacham. So he writes, Tznias gedoyla noyagim talmidei chachamim ba'atzman lo yisbal, lo yisbazu, v'lo yigalu roshan, v'lo gufan, and in Halacha Tess, malbosh talmidei chachamim malbosh na'ev v'naki, v'asr shalo shiimtza bevigdo kesem o shanunis ukiyote ba. In other words, the proper path for Talmid Chacham, and maybe for a regular person, though perhaps on a lower level, is to dress in a mechobedik way, not to be megaseh haruach. But it's not a formal iser, and that's what the Gemara says over here, that Adam is reshai levayish es atzmo. And maybe that's even why it's formulated that it is. Adam reshai levayish es atzmo, ein Adam reshai lechavo ba'atzmo. Now, just to give a mashal, and then we'll stop. There's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph writes, Ha'il Vayos Haguf Bari Vishali Vidarki Hashem, who, right, to do Torah and Mitzvot, you need to have a healthy body. And therefore, you should live a very healthy lifestyle. And the Rambam goes on to tell you how to live a healthy lifestyle. Don't eat too much, do exercise, v'chulei v'chulei. That's what the Rambam writes. So, does that mean it's usher to have, steak because it's high cholesterol or whatever the doctors say not to do? Let's assume that we're paskin these halachos not based off of the Rambam, but based off of contemporary medicine. But does that mean that there's a formal isser? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein makes the following deal. It's in Choshen Mishpat Chelet Beisim and Ayin Vav. There it's a tshuva about smoking. The Gadar Dharma of Hashem Sayyim Hashem. But he makes an interesting deal, which is that there's two, when it comes to doing things that are sakana, that's paskin and hochos rotzeach, and that's a formal iser, right? You can't stand under a creaky ladder. That's sakana, and that's aser. And then, that's paskin in one place in the Rambam, in hochos rotzeach. Then there's another halacha, which is paskin and hochos deos, parak dalet. That's, the Rambam doesn't quote a pasuk, and it says it's a svara, since hayos, that to be an Ovid Hashem, you need to be healthy, and you can't do so many Torah, mitzvos, and learn so much Torah if you're sick. So, mainly, you have to eat healthy food. That's not, we wouldn't say it's aser to eat a candy bar, based off of that, because it's not begadir sakana, but we'd say it's not appropriate. It's the same thing when the Rambam in Hilchos Deos talks about, being a mechubadik a person. Even when this Gemara says that Adam Rishai Levayish is Atzma, Levada, that doesn't mean it's a good thing. It's inappropriate, for sure, but there's no formal Isser. That's what the Gemara means. And this might, by the way, answer the Kasher Rikiv Eger asks on Gilgan Hashas by Eishiv Betainis. It's a similar point, but I guess we'll have to get back to that a little bit later. Time. It also explains why the Shavuos Chal and the like. But anyway, we'll get back to that later. Tomorrow we'll do the Gemara. Sorry to end late. Have a good day. So tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll talk a lot about Baltashchus, a very interesting sugya.
Is that when the Vardik is a lot of bad?
Right. That's a